Welcome to the Garage Spiel Podcast. This podcast is brought to you by your friends at Bomb Tools Unlimited, Stahlwilly Tools North America, and Eurodiagnostic Resources. Learn more at www.bombtools.com, www.stahlwilly.com, and www.eurodiagnostics.com. Bomb Tools Unlimited, Stahlwilly Tools North America, and Eurodiagnostic Resources are proud to underwrite this Garage Spiel podcast. This is part two of our interview with Bob Beckman, owner of Beckman Technologies and Blue Link Diagnostic Solutions. Both of Bob's companies are based in Raleigh, North Carolina.
There's things we've been looking at. I know you and I have talked about the problems that our shops have, and what do we do as a industry to help our shops. There's certain areas of expertise, the technical support, the training, the collaboration, the websites. What Eurodiagnostics, exactly what they're doing is allow people to group collaborate and help each other fix the cars to bring some efficiencies back in the service bay. That's number one. I think that in the last 5 to 10 years has had more impact than anything. The next step is some of the other business ventures that I've looked into. One of the companies is Blue Link Diagnostic Solutions, and we're looking specifically to allow a service bay to have access to specialized OE software in the instances when they need it. Instead of having to buy a system or pay a lot of money upfront for maintenance and learning curve, to allow an expert remotely to do diagnostics on the vehicle. I think that solution would open up a lot of opportunities to our customers where they wouldn't be afraid to take in a different brand of vehicle for some body electrical problem because they know that they'd be stuck and wouldn't be able to fix it. If they have somebody that can help them bail them out, get them out from under that car, they would be much more interested in doing that at a reasonable price.
So your association with Blue Link Diagnostic Solutions, tell us about Blue Link and your connection with Blue Link.
Blue Link Diagnostics is a corporation I started in 2001. We identified these same problems, that all the shops are starting to see now, but we saw them becoming very acute with Mercedes-Benz in the late 90s. The SCN coding situation, but more often it's the person in the service bay, he may have all the information, and that's somewhat the fallacy that people say, well, I can't get the information or the information is not available. Well, the information is available, there's just too much of it. So how do we get the solution into the service bay efficiently? That's the Blue Link products allow you to do that. There's all sorts of different types of software. The very exciting portion that we're working with right now is something called the BDS2534 Remoter, which allows you to take OE software, connect it to a vehicle remotely into the service bay. And the expert who knows how to run the software, keeps it up to date, knows exactly what programming tasks need to be done, can give that to the service bay as an as-needed solution. So that's what we've been working on the last 3-4 years and have been beta testing it with Mercedes, and now we're branching out into another number of other automakers that support this technology.
Yeah, I remember when you first started doing this when we, because, we've kept in touch, God, for years. As this whole Blue Link thing has been progressing. And the last time I was here a few years ago, we went through exactly how you had this Blue Link established and how you were going to get it all hooked up and everything. And from what I'm understanding, the end results are pretty promising.
We're looking at it. We're very optimistic for 2011. I think that there has been a kind of an awakening by a lot of the industries, particularly OE manufacturers, that they look back in the history of their alliances with their tool manufacturers, and they're looking back and they say that this really isn't working. And primarily it has to do with technology is advancing very rapidly. And if a manufacturer decides that we need a new tool to fix our cars, that technology, by the time it's deployed from a hardware level, is obsolete. So they're looking at always trying to play catch up with a tool maker, and then generally the OE is then locked into some supplier who, after 5 years perhaps, can't supply these tools anymore because some chip that they used is no longer manufactured. So then it becomes very costly, and that's why these tools are so expensive. That's why a Tech 2 is $5,000 or $6,000, because they're very hard to keep going. So they realize that they have to break this connection between the tool company and the OE. And by standardizing on a J2534 interface, for instance, it makes the software independent of the tool itself.
Yeah, basically the pass-through unit.
Right.
You know, my whole question is, when I started seeing all this technology taking leaps and bounds, I stepped into the stream so I could learn how this works. Do you find that a lot of these guys that are working on these cars, percentage-wise, are they receptive to learning this stuff, or do you find that it's easier for them to have a blue link and let the expert fix it?
That's a very good question. We've talked over the years, you know that a shop generally is in a reactionary mode. You know, getting them to change their mentality, I think, is going to be very difficult. But if you have a solution when a car is sitting in the service bay, they're very, very receptive. And yes, they do want to learn and use these other products. There's tools that they need on a day-to-day basis, and there's tools that they need infrequently. When I say tools, I use that very loosely. It's generally software and its solutions. Pretty much with any industry, you get an influx of younger talent that have new ideas and are more open to change. As we get older, we lose sight of technology or don't care or are happy doing it the way we were doing it. And obviously the younger people are much more comfortable around laptops and technology, and it seems to work. But if the technology gets so evolved, and especially if you want to do multiple car lines, I mean, you see it. You've seen all the softwares from a lot of the automakers. Every one of them is different. Every one of the operating modes is different. You use different interfaces. You have to use different computers because they don't interoperate. So to maintain this, even if you're computer savvy, is almost impossible for a shop. And I hate getting people that have had to specialize in small communities and really yeah. cut down their business because they couldn't keep up.
Well, this is where I think the J2534 is going to be advantageous. These cars are far more complex than just powertrain.
We can't have a comprehensive service facility until we do things beyond powertrain. You and I know that. We can't make money if we can't fix the window switch or the windshield wiper blade, in addition to the check engine light.
Correct.
The J2534 people that have been working on this for years, that have given it their all, have now published a J2534-2 specification, which this interface will allow you to go back prior to 2000 and do pretty much everything on any car that needs to be done.
What's Mercedes doing with this?
They're a big company. They do things very deliberately over time. I think Mercedes has done an excellent job in software management, the way that their networks are set up in their vehicles, and the way that the vehicles communicate with scan tools is done quite well. As far as full adoption for J2534-2, I could only hope so. There is really no technological reason not to support those types of interfaces. That is a choice that they'll have to make at some level. From what I understand, Toyota right now is the industry leader in adopting J2534. For a very reasonable price, you can have full factory-level software for a Toyota. Buying an interface that's well under $300 if you want to do just Toyota. And from what I understand, there's two major automakers that are right around the corner. They haven't announced anything publicly, but I expect them in the next few months to have full J2534 support.
Yeah, and from what I'm seeing here already, a J2534 system, you're able to get your hands on one for $1,500 or under, total package.
Correct. You can buy a very comprehensive interface for well under $1,500. There's some major companies that are easy to find that have very good products now. And what this does is, as these tools get into the service base, and I hope that they will open a lot of opportunities. Originally, the whole pass-through concept was sold for powertrain and powertrain reflashing only. But the people that were in this business years ago and have looked at this and said the natural progression is that this moves into a comprehensive solution. The automakers look at it as saying, wow, we could have this one interface, and it really doesn't matter who we buy it from as long as they interoperate. They don't have a problem with having supply, because if these chips aren't available, somebody's just going to make a new interface using more modern technology, but it's going to conform to the same standards. So they're not going to be locked into a particular tool supplier.
You know, I'd like your feedback on this whole Mercedes TRP, or the theft-related protection. Has this caused you any problems?
Oh, no. And on the contrary, it's actually helped my business considerably, because if they can't go to the dealer to buy an engine management computer for a 2000 S500, they can come to me. And provided they have the right paperwork, just I'm happy to sell it. And I make you, obviously, you have to prove that the vehicle's not stolen, but I'm happy to sell you the part. Whereas the dealer, they've made it very, very difficult to buy these components through the normal channels. Now, to give them credit, they are working on a solution to this. And there is a group in the NASTAF world that is called the Vehicle Security Committee, of which I'm a member. They are working with Mercedes. We are working with Mercedes in providing a mechanism for the independent shops to buy these theft-related parts without a lot of difficulty.
So you're talking about the EIS, the clusters, the ME controllers, the 722.9 controllers, keys, locks.
Keys and locks, yes. And the if people want to look at it, they go and go to the NASTAF website and look up something called the SDRM, Secure Data Release Model. And what that is a mechanism for legitimate businesses to fill out an application. This was work that was done with NASTAF and the American Locksmith Association to essentially vet these purchasers of these parts, and they will get you. There's a background check. You have to prove a bond of insurance, which all of our businesses have anyway. You fill this form out, and you will get a locksmith ID.
See, that's what I've been hearing about a number of guys wanting to get this locksmith ID.
Correct.
But what's going to be involved with that is going to be on the national security level type background check?
No, from what I understand, it's very straightforward. I have a number of customers who've done it. I think there's a $250 charge, if I'm not mistaken. You fill out an application, and they just really want to see, are you legitimate businesses? The theft-related parts situation began when the insurance companies came to Mercedes-Benz and said, your cars are getting stolen worldwide. Mercedes says, well, you can't really steal these cars. We have very high security. And the insurance company said, well, here's how people were doing it. And what was happening, and if I understand this all correctly, there were cars stolen somewhere in the world, in parts of the world where it's not so easy to buy parts. They were put in a warehouse. A email or a phone call was made to a shop somewhere in the West, either in Germany, Europe, here in the United States, says, we have a car, an XYZ type of car. Someone will wait in their shop, and they'll wait till one of these cars come in, similar enough. They'll buy all the theft-related parts, they'll put them in the box, and they'll send them overseas.
Oh, so it wasn't like reaching under the dash and touching wires together?
No, sir.
Okay, just like they do in the movies.
That's right.
You know?
It's not so easy. Mercedes, especially their recent cars, they have a very good solution for vehicle security. And we still have to fix the cars because these cars have to break, so there have to be mechanisms for replacing the parts and servicing the vehicles. So that's all built in. But the easiest way to steal a car was to put it on a flatbed, call over the United States or in Western Europe and have somebody order a bunch of parts for a car that's running around here on a valid VIN, put them in a box and send them over. So they said, we have to restrict the sale of these high security parts. And that's where this came about. Of course, the aftermarket people, they couldn't all of a sudden serve their customers very well. So they got, this is how this, conflict began. And now, Mercedes, they're very proactive and they want their customers served well. And they're at the table better than most as far as let's solve this. We just want to make sure that you're not putting these parts in a box and sending them to overseas.
Well,
so the cars can get stolen.
It makes sense.
That is my beat on this. It seems that's why it was done. So, from what I understand, the process is simple. You get a locksmith ID. I don't know exactly how long it takes, but I can't imagine it's more than a few days. Mercedes is working on a website for ordering some of these other parts, and you will go on there and you'll put in the VIN, and they'll check to make sure the vehicle is legitimate. They'll check your locksmith ID, and then they'll send an email to that local dealer, and they will turn the parts over to you. You'll still have to do the documentation just like the locksmiths. You will have to prove possession of the vehicle, registration, and driver's license of the vehicle, owner of the vehicle. They have to match. But after that, it should be straightforward. And I really don't have a problem with that.
Oh, that's good, because I found that throughout the country, that whole TRP stuff, it varies, because there's a number of shops that still can get EIS, but in Florida, or at least at the Mercedes-Benz dealer in where I live, you can't get an EIS, and you can't get locks. I don't care what you do, they just basically say no. So I guess this is still the transition of getting everybody in line with that idea.
That is very true. We see that too. We have a number of customers that say they don't have any problems. My advice to them is that they will have problems, so they would want to get out in front of this and get on board with the SDRM. The dealers that are selling parts are violating their contracts with Mercedes-Benz, and eventually that comes around. They do get audited. They have a crew. Mercedes has a crew going around auditing all the dealerships on TRP parts. So, yeah, they may be able to get them now, but they may pick up the phone one Friday afternoon because somebody needs their car fixed, and they're not going to get the part, and they're not going to be able to get it within a few days. So get out in front of that. That's all going to
change. You know what it all comes down to? Being proactive rather than reactive. Welcome to the 21st century. And with that, thanks so much, Bob, for this interview. I think everybody, including myself and the crew here, has gotten a lot out of this. Thanks again.
Well, thanks again for coming.
Check out more of our Garage Spiel podcasts at www.euroautotraining.com.